This is Little Bird, Little Bird, written by Dead Start and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman fic, rated mature, featuring Jason Todd and Bruce Wayne. It's barely been 2 weeks since Jason died, and Bruce feels like he's been running on fumes and nothing more. Logically, he knows this can't go on forever. His nightly patrols as Batman, which once lasted a measly 4 or 5 hours, have stretched to 6, then 7, 8, 9. He dons the cowl every evening and never makes it back home until sunrise is already peeking over the horizon. He doesn't sleep, not truly. He doesn't do much of anything beyond scouring the dark streets for crime. He knows this can't go on forever, but he's determined to make it last as long as possible. How's he supposed to sleep when he knows exactly how his dreams will end? The nightmares play on a ceaseless, looping script. He can't stop them, but he can avoid them. For now, that feels like enough. He drives the Batmobile to the center of Gotham, abandoning it on a street corner to instead grapple across the rooftops. He ignores the painful silence that trails behind him. There's no one chattering incessantly at him, there's no banter, and there's certainly no laughter. There's simply him, the dull echo of nighttime traffic, and the cries of criminals when they're inevitably caught. Patrol passes in a blur. He swings into an alleyway in the depths of Park Row. He doesn't enjoy patrolling here, but it must be done. He's tired, fighting to keep his eyes open. Perhaps Bruce's exhaustion is partly why he misses the little bird lying against the dark asphalt of the ground. The sun has long been set. The only light comes from a dented street lamp just outside the alley. He manages to catch sight of the little bird regardless. It's a smear against the ground, half hidden by darkness. Once he sees it, he can't bring himself to look away. It's pathetically small, little more than a tuft of feathers, dark gray, white and reddish brown. A chick. There are important duties for him in Gotham City, more important than a little bird abandoned against the concrete ground. Yet, Bruce doesn't move. He stands still, staring down at the little bird blearily. He idly wonders how the thing got here. He doesn't see many birds in this part of Gotham, beyond the pigeons or stray pelican swooping in from the docks. This is no pigeon or pelican. It's a songbird. A robin. Bruce often sees songbirds in the manor or the park, but they tend to give a wide berth to Park Row. It's loud here, with little more than concrete, metal, and sadness to build their nests. Not much survives here, especially little robins. But the bird is definitely a robin, far too young to have flown far from its nest. Bruce knows the creature is likely already dead. He crouches down to scoop it into his hands anyway. It looks even more delicate against his dark gloves. It twitches, feathers ruffling. Alive, but clearly injured. One wing is bent, obviously broken. Bruce cradles it, stroking his thumb over its head. He isn't sure why he stopped to pick the bird up, but he can't imagine putting it back down. He can feel its heartbeat, thrumming against his fingers. He knows what he's about to do. He already feels stupid. For the first time in weeks, Bruce stops patrol before the rise of dawn. It's barely 2:30 in the morning, but he thinks only of the little bird as he makes his way back to the Batmobile. However, when he drives back home to the manor, he doesn't think of the bird in his palm. Rather, his thoughts are filled by another certain little robin, decked in green, yellow, and red, giggling at his side. He presses the bird to his chest with one hand as he steers with the other. He wonders if he'll be able to help this one. While the bird is small, it's still clearly strong. Upon arriving home, he creates a makeshift nest from an old shoebox and tissue paper. It gets placed on the desk in his home office. He ends up spending all day there, watching the animal. Hours pass without much notice. Bruce thinks the bird isn't yet 2 weeks old, the age chicks usually leave the nest. How the creature made it to Park Row remains a mystery. It's too small to fly, and yet he saw no nests that the bird may have fallen from back in the alley. At some point, he thinks that he sleeps, albeit very briefly, slumped against his desk. He's woken by a nightmare, the same one he's been having every day since Jason's death. Sweat drips down his forehead. His hands feel clammy. It's nearing nightfall, the time he'd normally head back out to patrol. Outside the window, the sun begins setting. The sky is orange-hued, dark at the edges. He knows he should get ready to patrol, but he doesn't want to move. From within the box, the bird flutters its wings. One of them is bound tightly in bandages, starkly white against dark feathers. He did that in the morning, after examining the injured wing. The damage was not awful, but it should still take a long while to heal. "What will I do with you?" he asks the bird. He doesn't expect a reply, but gets one anyway in the form of a warbling chirp. He feels like he may be going insane. He knows his family is worried about him. Alfred has been hovering in the hall all day. Bruce has chosen to keep the office door locked. He doesn't want to look the man in the eyes. "Yes," Bruce says, "you'll stay until you've healed." He reaches into the box and brushes over downy soft feathers. They're still fluffy and spotted, the young bird not having grown into its adult pattern. The little bird chirps again in reply. Bruce pulls away eventually, going down to the cave and putting on his Batman uniform. His cape drags mournfully behind him the entire time he patrols. He doesn't notice the fact that he's back before dawn again, slipping behind his desk silently. Outside the window, the sky is still dark. For the first time in what feels like a very long time, he feels somewhat at ease. "You seem to sleep well," he tells the bird, who's dozing peacefully. "Any tips?" Of course, the only tip the robin has is a tired chirp. It blinks with bleary, half-open eyes. Bruce nods regardless, leaning down to rest his cheek against the desk. It's cool against his skin. Beside the bird's shoebox, a picture frame stares at him. Inside is a photo of two boys, a smaller one atop an older one's shoulders. They both have dark hair, vibrant eyes, and wide grins. The smaller one's smile is so bright that it hurts Bruce's eyes. He wants to look away, but doesn't. His two sons, Dick, and his younger brother, Jason. "I've been having nightmares," he says. The more he speaks to the bird, the more insane he feels, but something about it is comforting. The bird doesn't reply. He can barely even see it, with only the feathers on its head peeking over the edge of the box. He doesn't pay mind to it, gazing at the picture frame. "They're always about Jason," he continues. The name feels bitter on his tongue. Bruce doesn't look away from the picture frame for a long beat. Jason just smiles. Eventually, he lets his eyes fall shut. "I hope he knows I'm sorry." Days pass like this, and then weeks. He eats, he pitifully attempts to sleep and fails, he patrols, and he watches the robin in the shoebox. He hasn't been speaking to anyone much lately, but somehow, talking to the robin feels easy. Every day, he tells it about Jason. "He was a good boy," Bruce says. "He didn't deserve me as a father." He talks about how Jason was a robin, too, decked in bright traffic light colors, trailing after Batman every night on patrol. He talks about how Jason may have been braver than anyone else he's ever met. He talks about how he doesn't think he'll ever be able to avenge his son in a way that matters. "I can't kill him," Bruce whispers, one day after a particularly vivid version of his nightmare. The same one as always, playing on its never-ending loop. Of running, but never fast enough. Of screaming, but never loud enough. Of chasing after a little robin held in the clutches of a madman. The bird is always already dead by the time he catches up to them. I want to, but I just can't. The Joker killed Jason and wouldn't hesitate to kill more innocents in the future. He'd probably be better off dead. Bruce knows this, but I don't think I could come back from that, he tells the bird. If I start now, I don't think I'd ever be able to stop. He tells the bird secrets he'd never tell another soul. Words that he finds impossible to say to Alfred or his still-living son, Dick. It's just a bird. He knows it can't understand him, but sometimes it almost feels like it can. The bird has grown bigger and stronger. It's not so little anymore. It's been shedding its feathers, coming into its adult colors. Its chest is vibrantly red. The top of its head is dark and soft. Its wing is looking better, and Bruce knows that soon it'll be completely healed. The thought makes his chest twinge. He unwraps the bird's bandages. The wing is still growing strong, and he worries that it may struggle flying. But it does fine, fluttering between the shelves of his office with grace. That twinge in his chest hasn't gone away. He knows what must be done. He's not sure why the thought is so painful. The robin flutters between his palms as he carries it outside. He looks up at the sky. It's bright and blue, with a single lazy cloud. Bruce can see Alfred hovering in the kitchen, peering out of the window. He's been talking to the man more, nothing nearly as detailed as what he has been telling the bird, but with those secrets free, it feels far easier to speak to other humans. Okay, little robin, Bruce whispers, voice raspy. I think you're ready. The bird looks up at him with wide eyes, chirping. The next thing he knows, it's flying up out of his palms to land on his head. It burrows into his hair. The laugh he lets out sounds half-choked. He scoops it off, holding it towards the sky. The bird shoots him another wide-eyed look. It flaps its wings and takes to the air. It swoops around his head several times, dark against the vibrant sky, before darting quickly to the left, where a patch of tall oak trees sit. The fields behind the manor are vast and beautiful, filled with greenery, trees, and plenty of other birds. Bruce hopes the little bird will enjoy them, even if he'll deeply miss it now that it's gone. Only, he feels like a fool, because it seems like the robin is destined to never truly leave. Time pushes on, and yet he sees it still, swooping between the trees. It's always there, watching him. Bruce sees it every morning outside the kitchen window. It chirps incessantly, the sound carried along on the wind. Sometimes it feels like laughter. He sees it flitting about on the power lines when he travels to the city. And every night, there's a robin trailing after him whenever he dons his cowl. It flutters in the fabric of his cape. The first time it happens, he feels ill. But now, it makes him smile. One day, he sees it chasing after one of the young neighbor boys, a child named Tim, no more than 12 or 13, stumbling curiously behind the robin. Soon enough, Bruce finds a second little robin hiding in the fabric of Batman's cape. Tim is insistent and far too serious for a boy who's barely a teenager. Bruce tries to send him home. Tim, now Robin, only crosses his arms in response. The bird sits on his shoulder, looking far too proud of itself. Bruce eats more. He shaves and showers. His patrols shorten more and more until they're the length they were before Jason died. He feels stunned when he realizes how much time has truly passed. It's been nearly a year since the boy's death. It doesn't feel like it. Bruce talks with Alfred and with Tim. He laughs with Dick. He still talks to the little robin through the window every morning. He sleeps. At some point, Bruce notices that he hasn't had a nightmare in weeks. He's not sure when it happened, but the thought makes his throat burn. In the early morning of the one-year anniversary of Jason's death, there's a knock on the kitchen window. Bruce glances up. It's the window the robin always visits, but the bird isn't there. Instead, there's a boy peering through the glass. He looks barely 16, with dark hair and bright eyes. Jason. Bruce pushes away from the counter, eyes wide and disbelieving. He hasn't had a nightmare in so long, and he wonders why they're back. He rushes to the kitchen door, throwing it open. He knows this must be a nightmare, but he almost doesn't care. Only, when he steps outside, it doesn't feel like a nightmare. When Bruce steps up to Jason, the boy doesn't disappear. In his dreams, Jason always disappears. When Bruce drops to his knees and wraps his arms around his son, all he can hear is the distant sound of birdsong echoing between his ears. Jason looks unreal. There are feathery, dark gray wings on his back, fluttering in the non-existent breeze. Robin wings. A few rogue red feathers creep up his arms. Bruce squeezes his eyes shut. The boy feels warm and real, despite his appearance. Bruce is still convinced it's a dream. It isn't real. It can't be. It doesn't make sense. His son is dead. His son will always be dead. "Jason," he whispers anyway. He cradles the back of his son's head. "Dad?" Jason's reply feels like a punch. "Did you mean it?" "Mean it?" Bruce asks deliriously. "Yeah," Jason says. He glances up, looking Bruce in the eyes. "That you missed me." "Oh," Bruce says, arms tightening. "Yes, yes, of course." Bruce keeps expecting to wake up. He doesn't. He pulls his hand away from Jason's head to wipe his eyes. He still doesn't wake. He pinches himself 3 times for good measure. He still doesn't wake. Eventually, he starts to realize this isn't a dream. "You're real," he tells Jason. The boy only smiles. "Yeah." Jason is real, and Bruce feels like he might burst into laughter. His son is real. His son is alive. Bruce doesn't really care how or why. He doesn't even care about the wings, arching delicately from just beneath the boy's shoulder blades. He's alive. After that morning, he never sees the little robin again, the one that fluttered through the trees, the one that trailed after him on patrol, the one that he's talked to every day since he's met it about Jason. Some days, when he holds his son, Bruce thinks he can hear the sound of its birdsong anyway. The end.
"Little bird, where are you going? I forgot to catch your name. What is that song you are singing? La da 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 da."